although here's Canapri is on a hat trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Corner Flag Talk podcast. As always, it's your boy John. We're here to talk about the latest in football before we go off into the international break. We will have some bonus content for you guys. We've been reaching out to some content creators online. Hopefully, we can get that done over the international break. And God willing, it will come through via YouTube as well as podcasting platforms. I'm here as always. This week, I have Pats with me. Patrick, was he good, my guy?
Hello, everybody. Glad to be back.
You wave. But, dog, this is an audio thing. Like, while I will take clips from it, you can't just wave. You have to say, hi, guys.
Hello, everybody. It's very nice to be back.
How many points are you on now, right now, Patrick?
How was what?
How many points are you on right now?
FPL? You know
how much points are you on?
60.
On 57. Yeah, you see? Catching my way.
I'll take my 60 ammo. Yeah.
But yeah, guys, we're here to talk about the latest in football. On the agenda today, we have the big stuff coming out of England. You know, Arsenal with 8 points clear. Conte making some very serious comments that I find hilarious. Chelsea being Chelsea. Haaland being only 3 goals off the all-time record for goals in a single season by a player from the Premier League in all competitions. And we're going to go to the UCL. How the last round of fixtures went, talk about the draw for the group stage and some other stuff. And obviously, we always have some kind of trivia or something for you guys. We'll be testing out a new one today, so when we get to that, you'll see it. So, first up on the agenda, I guess we can start with probably the most funny and most comical thing, which is that being Antonio Conte's comments coming out from the Tottenham game. So, as you guys will know by now, Tottenham were winning 1-0. Then Che Adams, I believe it was, made it 1-1. Then they were 3-1 up through a really nice header, Kalai, from Harry Kane. And then Perisic, who got his first goal for the club. I find that being his first goal so hilarious because you remember when, like, the Prem now start, like, everybody created the FPL sites. Everybody's like, Perisic is a boss, I must have, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Type in. And they managed to draw 3-3. Before we go into our Curtis comments, Pat, you want to get to watch this game?
Yeah. I did, yeah.
So, were you thought about the game as a whole then, and Spurs and Southampton and stuff?
Look, I thought Spurs played a good game. It's just Southampton somehow managed to Real Madrid it and keep fighting, and they get a point in the end. I'm not so sure if that was a penalty. I guess it is.
I being real, I don't think it's a pen.
Yeah. But
I think it's kind of unfortunate to have to concede a pen there.
Yeah, but I mean, Ward-Prowse is actually not bad from the penalty spot. Just saying, and they're not common, for a guy that good at free kicks, so you get at pens too. That usually happen. But I don't really have much doubts. And when he step up and Forster didn't look that confident either. So yeah, 3-3, move.
Yeah, this game was actually real weird though, because like in the first half. It was only the second time in Premier League history that 4 substitutions had to be made, 2 by each side, 4 injuries. Richarlison and I think it was Ben Davies had to come off for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And the 2 starting centre-backs for Southampton had to come off, Bella Kotchap and Stevens. Is Stevens his name? No, sorry, Benner. My bad.
Yeah.
I don't think Stevens there anymore. I think he had Brentford or something, though. Anyways, it was real weird, dog. And then Pedro Porro opened the scoring, dog. That was like his 2 chances. Well,
last
game.
Yeah,
because he had get 2 nice chances on his left foot, but he won the right. He definitely put away. But it is kind of feel like it's synonymous with Spurs season at this point, where like every time you feel like they get some advantage, and you think it's actually 1 up. With albeit 2 games in hand for Man United, they was 3rd in the table at 3-1 up. And, you know, when you look at the way the season going and the narrative that has been around Conte and the way that the Tottenham season has gone, I think them finishing 4th would have been a good season for them. It would have still been a good season. And now it feels like, again, do we trust the Spurs team to see it out at this point? And I could understand anybody doubting them. I doubt them too, to be honest. It's real hard for me to say who's going to finish in And I will say the last two spots because I still believe both third and fourth up for grabs. I do think United will get it, but I do think that there is some pretty tricky fixtures and direct fixtures for United in the upcoming games after the international break. You know, they directly play Brighton. They directly play Spurs. They directly play Chelsea. So that's to say, like, those things are quote-unquote six-pointers now, where if teams take points off them in their hunt for top four, it's kind of like a double whammy at the same time now. So, right, that was just to say, I can't really say yet who I feel sure to finish top four. I'd be real, if you ask me right now, I tell you Brighton, because, dog, these men are so good.
I was going to put them in the hat because I think last time I checked, 4 points off Spurs, 3 games in hand. They must close that gap. I'll probably overtake them. Maybe they don't win all three, but I don't think they lose any of the three. They might draw one, maybe draw two. But
I don't think they will either. And I believe, just give me 1 second. They won 5-0 today against Grimsby in the quarterfinals. Yeah. They are on their way to the semifinals of the FA Cup.
FA Cup.
Because they are true and Man City are true. Sheffield United is also true. Well, United are currently 0-0 at nearing halftime for Fulham at the time of recording. But, though, so top four, it up there. And the thing is, I agree that I think that there is one world-class player in Tottenham squad. But let's be real frank about this, right? Outside of Kane is the only world-class player. They have some great players. They have players who have produced world-class seasons in the past, like Heung-Min Son. Kulusevski was really good for them before his injury. I think since the injury, he hasn't really come back the same at all. Richarlison.
Well, tell me. I don't know about that because they didn't really give him a chance to even
get into the game. Yeah, that's fair. I find so weird. Yeah, it's so dumb because, like, outside of Kane and, well, now Pedro Porro, because I think Pedro Porro gets forward really well, and I do think he adds another dimension to that side. But he's the only player that's capable of being creative.
I don't know about like Pedro Porro. I don't think he's all that. Nah, I think that finish was hit on hope, and he missed two before that, doing some stupid things, in my opinion. Like, there was one that he cut onto his left foot that I thought he should have taken with his right. And it's not really a good sign when you're shifting from your strong foot to your weak foot when you had your strong foot. So, I don't really know about all. I don't know about this Pedro Porro guy. But maybe he got better.
Fair enough. But it was more to say that, like, they lack players who could pick passes that could add creativity to the side. Kulusevski is literally one of a very few. And for all your arms, all the jokes that I would have over men like Son and stuff, Son's speciality is receiving, finishing. It's not necessarily created for others. You know, he wants to be created for. And we've seen last year that when he's on it and you make the system to feed him, it produces. Because last year, bro, he went mad. He went ballistic. Yeah. You know, that man was joint goal and boot winner with no penalties taken. That is crazy, right? But now they are suffering. He's not on it as much. Kulusevski is not playing. Richarlison, who came off injured, there's a very real chance, depending on how severe that injury is, Richarlison finishes the season with no goals in the Premier League. And they paid 60 million for this guy. That is crazy. Nah, he have no goals in the Prem. He scored 2 in the Champions League. But that is it. I don't think, it might be 3 in the Champions League, but he only have 2 goals. He have none in the Prem. Like, I know that for sure. He have none in the Prem. And that's crazy, you know? They brought in Dan Juma. Has he played, really? Not much. I think he played in the Cup. I think he came on against AC Milan. But hasn't really been given a chance to make any impact.
I thought Dan Juma was a good signing, and then they left him on the bench.
I thought so, too.
So I think Son's just playing on name right now, too, to be honest. Because he's not really having a good season. I'd have dropped him a long time. And probably play Richarlison, because I find Richarlison look good in the World Cup. And he was good for Everton last season, too. So at least we know we can get some out of this guy. So play him. Play Kulusevski, because left-footed, first of all, I think that's a big difference to the front three. And he actually kind of creative. So I think with that gel more with Kulusevski on the side, and they decided to drop him instead, and then blame the players. So,
On that note, I think we should go into Conte's comments, because that way we could address those, and then we could talk about, you know, where Spurs should go forward from, not just his comments, but like even the squad and stuff like that, right? So I'm gonna just read it out here first. So this was after the draw against Southampton, and he said, "The problem is that for another time, we show that we are not a team. I see selfish players. I see players that don't want to help each other and don't put in their heart. They don't play for something important. They don't want to play under pressure. They don't want to play under stress. It is easy this way. Tottenham's story is this. 20 years the owner is here and they've never won something. But why?" And so the thing is, I don't think he's wrong. But it just feels like a little out of place that he actually said it in public like that, you know? But he's
true. Well, why not say it in public? That's my question.
I guess it's more that it's just uncommon, right? Like, we don't see a manager come on and directly attack both the players and the ownership in one go, you know? Right. Like, that is so rare for him to drop owner in there post drawing a game, losing a lead. You know, it's so rare.
I mean, Conte is relatively new to the team and seems to have no attachment to these guys, which is not something that we thought he would. So, from my opinion, it comes like a outsider looking in who have a little bit more information than your common outsider, right? Meaning that he comes in, he doesn't care about the club, as like he has no personal attachment to them. So, shielding the club is not in his interest. His interest is himself. And making himself maybe not look too bad, because obviously he gets most of the criticism for what goes wrong with Spurs right now. But it's also unique because he have more information than most people would about the club actually being in it and part of it. So I think I was pretty happy that he decided to speak up and make some of those comments, because who else has ever bashed Spurs from within, first of all? Even though we know that it's a troubled club, like, as he said, 20 years and no trophies is poor. But nobody's ever talked about that, except for people on the outside looking in. No one from the inside has ever really brought up Spurs' issues. And they sack manager after manager after manager, and nothing has changed. Under one of their greatest managers, in Pochettino, no title, no trophy, no nothing. And then they get this guy, Conte, who is a world-class manager, in my opinion, and highly tactical. And even he can't change anything. So so I think somebody had to speak up. Because you know what would have happened? They would have lost that game. Sorry, they would have drawn that game, which feels like a loss. And everybody would have said, okay, maybe it's time to sack Conte. And maybe he, even knowing that time might be coming, decided to speak up before he actually end up leaving the club. That's what I think about it. He's not absolved of blame, though, because as we literally just talked about 2 minutes ago, it's have tactical issues within the team too, right? Mm-hmm. And then I also couldn't understand really why Bissouma don't play at all. No, but he hasn't played this season, even when he was
fit. Yeah.
And Conte spoke about him not being up to speed in terms of the tactics and whatever. Could you get him up to speed then? It's been 6 months or 7 months now.
And it feels like a lot of these signings is questionable too, right? Because why did you sign Dead Spence then to literally buy another right wing back 6 months later?
Yeah. And,
you know,
I think we all know if everybody was fit, Emerson was probably going to be playing. Because that's his guy. That for whatever reason. The man with no technique in the world is somehow locked down a right wing back spot where he just get rare touches on the ball. It don't really make much sense to me. I trust that Conte know what he's doing, but it have a lot of question marks. You know what I mean? I don't think he absorbed the blame. But what I will say is, I think Spurs just suffering from a real bad culture right now. Because their culture is literally to lose, right? And that's not good. How do you fix that? I think you had to start over. Similar to Arsenal,
that I think start over is probably the best way to go about it. But I was gonna say that, look, I think that Conte is at his best a very good manager, right? And I do think that there were periods that I did regard him as world class. I don't think that he is as much of a serial winner as others think he is. Like, people think, like, you know, he started management and he just started to win, like, off the bat, and it just kept going like that. But, like, some things that people don't know is that, like, God, his first 3 years in management, he got sacked by a Serie B team, then got relegated to Serie C, and then won back the Serie B with another team before getting sacked again. You know, it took him 7 years to actually win his first trophy. You know, we've literally seen Arteta win his first trophy 6 months into being in the job. You know? And then I also think Juventus aside, because I do think that he did a lot of good work at Juventus, he's inherited some good teams when he's done great things. You know? At Chelsea, he inherited the Mourinho side that won the league and added the unicorn known as N'Golo Kante to all of that. I went on to win the league. And, like, when you look back on it, that squad was pretty much with the N'Golo inclusion, became like hand in glove for like a three at the back system. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think at Inter, it was kind of similar as well. You know, I'm not saying that he's not good. I just don't think like he is this mastermind of a serial winner as some other managers I think of as actual serial winners then. In Pep and Mourinho and stuff like that. And Ancelotti, I think. You know?
Okay.
But that's just my opinion. And that's not to degrade the work that he's done. Or, like, I hate this style of football. Because, as I've actually said before, I actually don't care about style of football. I care about effective football. You know? Like, I have no problem with somebody who wants to play counter-attacking football. But it has to be effective in the way that it does. It has to be that you set up in a way to create situations for yourself to counter. It can't be that you're riding your luck with high percentage shots against you and hoping for the best and then going the next way and hope you score for one chance or stuff like that. You know? With Spurs now, he mentioned the players and you also said that it's probably better that they scrap and they start over. And I do think I tend to agree. I think they need to change. They've been linked with managers like Tuchel and Luis Enrique and stuff like that. I think that is completely the wrong way for them. I think especially somebody like Luis Enrique, who requires a high technical level from his players. You look at this team now. Dog, who gonna do that? Who had the ability to play that kind of football?
No, well, I mean, in scrapping the team, sometimes it's good to get a manager who has some sense of direction to come in and commit to a couple of years of hard work and slowly but also immediately get in the profile players that you feel like you need. And maybe it's not quote-unquote high-caliber players, but you go and get... Okay, for example, if Enrique was to come in, you try to sign 5 technical players off the bat. And in the same vein, sell players like Skip and Langley and Emerson, players that you know not going to play for you because they're not good on the ball, and so on and so forth. And sell Romero one time too, because, wow. And move forward like that. And I think when we talk about changing culture too, you can't ignore the backroom staff as well, because they have been in the club longer than most of the players. And they will have that losing culture as well. It goes from within. You have to uproot everything and completely start over.
The thing is, like, I agree with everything that you are saying. And you had brought up the Arsenal example before. And the thing is, though, I think, like, what Arsenal have done is extremely unique. And I think that they did it in a longer spell than it was intended because of COVID. And even then, is really short when you think about how much turnaround that squad went through. You know, from his first 11 that Arteta fielded, only Saka, who was filling in as a left back that day, and Xhaka is the only man who's still here. You know, from the squad as a whole, a lot of these players just weren't there. You know, this summer gone was the first time, and this January gone is the first time he actually buy attackers and stuff like that to bring in. So, is if Levy is willing to spend, and on, all right, that is what I was going to say, is that the difference with Arteta's project was that KSC and our ownership was very much behind him and everything that he's done, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that they have put money from their own pockets that we did not have to generate because we weren't selling players to bring in these men. You know, their men take a L in order to help the club go forward. And obviously, we have to repay them. But as we get more successful, we make more money. The more money mm-hmm. we make, the more money they make. And we could also repay them while doing more. So it pays out for them in the long run. But you get my point now. Daniel Levy is not somebody who's known to want to spend and want to get in players, you know? Like, for example, take Conte himself. Conte wanted Gvardiol last summer. And some of the left-footed center, I can't remember who it was. You know what he get? Longley. He wanted Kostic as our wing back. You know, instead he get Dutch Spence. You know, and that's what I'm saying now. You know, like,
well, they still made some signings. I mean, they spend money behind Richarlison and Bissouma.
And that doesn't look good for returns right now.
Well, no, it don't look good for returns, but they got him to open up his pocket and spend. I don't know how much Dan Juma cost them, but he couldn't
I don't
be cheap.
Think it was like that much. It was like, okay. I think it was like 35 mil or something. Because, mm-hmm. dog, them had pipe him from Everton, dog. And Everton didn't really have that much money to spend either. Yeah, so,
good point. Well, they had to retire some money. But anyway, yeah. But
hypothetically,
I think,
right? If if you was Daniel Levy and you see that you spend that 90 million on Richarlison and Bissouma, mm-hmm. would you feel more inclined to go back and spend more again or watch how they have returned?
No, I would find a Conte and spend with a different manager, but I wouldn't spend behind Conte again, especially because of the Bissouma thing. Like, if you tried, if that was a Conte move, like if Conte asked for Bissouma and then didn't get him to work, I would be real vexed. Because I spend real money behind this man that you asked for and you not playing him. So, guess what? The next time you come asking for me to spend 50 million, I might think twice about it and maybe I say, hold him. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say, I think you made a real good point about the spending money and backing a manager. That is very important. And equally important, in my opinion, is getting players from within. And earlier on today, I was asking in a group chat about that why I brought up the question earlier today. This is not on the podcast, by the way. This is on a group chat about if them even have a good academy.
Oh, they have
a good academy. Because when you look at
Harry
teams that have,
spy.
Right. When you look at teams that going through somewhat successful rebuilds or even in the process of rebuilding and you could see a direction. They take Arsenal and United for example, right? They lean on their academy a lot because in getting rid of a lot of players, they have a lot of holes. They can't just go and spend 500 million in one summer getting a whole new team. They just have to lean on your young players. And that's where we've seen people like Rashford emerge, Saka, and, well, they all bought Martinelli, but whatever, came pretty young, and so on and so forth, right? And who is going to emerge from Spurs, I couldn't tell you, because over the last 10 years, probably just been Kane. That turned out to be good.
Harry Winks, my brother. How often that English man does play midfield in Italy?
Good point.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that also coincides with the fact that of Spurs doing what they did when they did it with Pochettino, because at the same time, he had Dele Alli and Harry Kane both come out of the academy. Although, I think they might... I can't remember if he was loaned to MK Dons or if they bought him from MK Dons real cheap. Dele Alli. I can't remember. It's 182. Either way.
I don't know.
It's like the same thing with Arsenal signing Martinelli for 6 million. Like, it's negligible. For what it's worth, though, we do have a good bit of healing players, academy players in the first level, like Eketia, Nelson. Clearly, he has contributed some important stuff so far.
And you all had Maitland-Niles before doing bit.
Yeah.
Smith-Rowe, Saka, so on and so forth. And I think, if your academy not up to scratch, you had to have a good scouting network then. Like, you had to be able to buy good players from team. And when last have they bought a good
like
young
player? A good, like, oh, we didn't see this coming and he real do good kind of thing, eh?
If you look at Barca, right? I think Barca is a good mix of the both, in that they produce good players, but they also buy good young players as well. I mean,
yeah, we bought Pedri was bought. Yeah,
I was not. He didn't come from the academy, and then Gavi, I believe, came from the academy. Balde as well. So it's a decent mix, and then you see the same kind of thing with Arsenal, same kind of thing with United too, because they bought Garnacho. You know, he's pretty young.
Yeah.
I think Ilanga came out the academy.
Yeah, he
and
did.
Ilanga was good last season. Let me not forget about that. Even though he's an average player, but when they needed him to step up, he did. Mm-hmm. In Spurs' case, I don't see this happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally agree.
So it might be dead. Give them 2 years and they don't get championship.
Give me 5 must-sell players in the summer for Spurs.
For Spurs? Son, get some money in. Sell him while it's early. Romero, get some money in for that guy too, because he's a World Cup winner. And then I would keep Emerson. I don't think Emerson is a must seller. Just saying. Like, he's do his part. But depending on the type of manager that come in, if you get a techie manager, sell Emerson one time. God. And this, I think, is where some of the problem is, because apart from selling men for good financial plays, that team is so average. Like, between the starters and the bench, there's no glaring person that I could say, he brings the team down, sell this guy. For example, when it was Umtiti at Barca, or a couple years ago when Arsenal needed to get Xhaka out. I mean, that was a couple years ago, though. He turned his career around, but...
I'll tell you a good example. It's kind of like, with all due respect, like how Oba became for us.
He was an obvious sell. But at Spurs, who's the obvious sells? Except for people that I think, okay, I can get some money for these ones. Who bring any team down? They all bring themselves down.
Obviously, like, it depends on like what style of manager we're looking for them to bring in. I've always would, because, you know, I love to get my licks in. I did predict that Conte would not stay at Spurs beyond the end of the season, because I just couldn't see it happening, though. I just couldn't see it happening for various reasons. I was discussed way back then. If you actually want to know what I say, go listen to back then, because we have some other stuff to get through today.
Who's your top 5?
Son, I would sell Eric Dier, though, honestly. I think he's terrible. And not terrible. He's the best of a terrible bunch. And I think that he's a liability for the fact that managers feel like they need to play him. Scrap that. Start fresh. Hugo Lloris has to go. So error prone. He's gone through. He's been gone through for a while.
Okay, would you sell him, though? Because I don't know if a guy like that.
First 11.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I don't know if I would. Yeah. I mean, because you need people who understand what's going on too sometimes. And he's captain and all that too.
Harry Kane. Actually, you know, I might tell Harry Kane to do it. Just to get him money to actually do the start of the worshipfulness.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, though, I don't think it's that bad. Like, let me say a new manager come in and he play like 4-3.
Who do you think this new manager could be?
Thomas Frank. But I don't feel that yet.
I was thinking about that, but is it even a good thing for Frank to take a chance?
No, it's not. It's actually not. It's not. Because Thomas Frank is going to finish in a European spot this season. He should see it out next year.
Plus, I don't think Frank should leave one project to go to a worse project.
Another project, yeah.
And this project look harder.
Right, and the thing is, with all due respect, they are on the same level.
They probably are. The only difference is one team have Kane and the other one don't.
So them men have Kane light. They have Kane. Terrible.
Kane do better than thing. Kane do better than thing.
True. Yeah. Yes, very right.
Ivan, for all the good player that he is, he's such a liability. I don't know if I could go a season with him in my team. It would be so annoying to watch.
Outside of that, look, I'll talk about him a little bit more when we talk about Arsenal. But Amorim, I believe is his name, the Sporting manager, though he's moved me immensely, though. I thought Sporting was really good across that tie. In fact, I'd be real honest, I thought Sporting was good even in the group stage of the Champions League. I thought it was unlucky not to come out, though. Because I remember watching their games against Spurs and against Frankfurt in the Champions League, and I thought they were good. I thought they were really good.
Who else? That guy from Benfica, too.
I actually have no idea what his name.
Yeah, okay, me neither. But dog, their football is
bits and they play great.
Dog, their football is so different to anything that Spurs have ever known. It's so front footed.
I mean, I guess that's kinda like what United is going through now. We're like, to be fair dog, Ten Hag football and alright, I say this kinda loosely because the truth is I don't think Ten Hag is playing Ten Hag football yet. But Ten Hag is moving them in a direction that United don't know. You know, Fugie never tried to play high possession, high line football. And neither did Jose. And Farrell kind of was possession based. Alice Solskjaer wasn't, David Moyes wasn't. They don't know this. You know, it's a whole brand new start. And for what it's worth, for being very early in the project, they have a trophy, top four is well within their hands. It's a good start. So maybe then Spurs should take example from them and try to start over with something that you could feel like you can build an identity behind. With that being said, we could go to the club with their identity of buying players. And that is Chelsea. Chelsea felt like if they were to in a corner, and I'll be real, I didn't watch the second half because it was so boring the first half. I went on sleep. And I missed all four goals. Watch the highlights though. Chelsea felt like this was started going on a run. They were three wins in a row, including Champions League. And it felt like if they were on their way to win today. But one of my favorite managers of all time, and I really mean this, so is Sean Dyche. I love him, you know. I love that man to death, you know. You have no idea how I love that man. I will say it, dog, that man should get a top six job. You know what, dog? Top dog. Sign Sean Dyche. Sean Dyche. Let's go back to our roots.
I don't know if Tottenham can play 4-4-2.
Son up top wicked, Pokulusevski on the left with the whip beat crosses.
Okay, my team stick.
Get back to our roots. We hear for it. I love Sean Dyche. And in true fashion of everything that is Sean Dyche, they don't give up. They've had a serious run of decent results right now. They beat Brentford last week. And yeah. We will take a short pause at this moment in time. Yeah, guys. I don't know what happened there. The minute I just dropped. Sorry about that. For all those who are interested, it is the 53rd minute in the United Fulham game. You get live updates as they come in. Mitrovic just scored. United are down 1-2 at home. So we all know what coming, guys. It's gonna be 3-1 to United. Rashford gonna come on.
That's a hat trick.
He's the best player in the world. And oh, at PSG are 2-0 down at home. Apparently, dog. Apparently, Kim Kardashian have a curse. That's why we lost against Sporting. She got in the PSG game. They lost. Kim Kardashian, we respect the publicity, but please don't come back.
Anybody that boy Fabian Ruiz get?
Oh, dog! Hey, but the pie got up today, dog.
He got up?
Yeah, because I think I won yesterday.
Yeah, they did, but they're so quick with the.
No, they are doing it really quick, dog. And they got up. They got up at 2 o'clock.
Two. Anyway, we had a start of FIFA podcast.
Yeah, we do. We really do. Okay. Chelsea draw 2-1 in true Everton fashion. Everton did not give up. Sorry, not Everton fashion. True Sean Dyche fashion. Look,
yes.
I said it for the minute that he was hired. Everton are staying up. They're gonna stay up. They're gonna finish mid table next year. They're gonna push for one of them European spots. They're staying up though. He's been good. He's solidified them. He's made them play with a never say die attitude, and they are really reaping the rewards for that. I'm gonna just check real quickly because if I'm not mistaken, Everton actually are on a mini run at the moment of results, because that draw against Chelsea meant that they were now undefeated in 3 games in the league. Wow, so much for that big run. But since Sean Dyche has come in, he's managed to win 1-2-3 games, drawn 2. And he've only lost to us and to Liverpool and to Villa away, which is more the outlier. But Villa at home. That's the only game at home they've lost. They've been good since Sean Dyche has taken over. Or you don't think so?
No, I was going to praise him. I think the thing about Dyche is his model is pretty good for league football. When he inherits a shit team, you know what's coming. Switch to 4-4-2 off the bat. Consolidate. We are not going to concede much goals. We are going to try to win games 1-0 or 2-1. Or if we have to go 2-2 or 1-1, no problem. But you're not about to come home to Sean Dyche and embarrass him in his backyard. That just don't happen. You are not scoring more than 2 goals against Dyche. That's just how it is. And he will do his part to make sure he's frustrating on the day. And that the team, everybody run back. Stay in 2 lines of 4. And try to hit these guys on the counter. No problem. And shit, dog. It is work for small teams in competition in league football. It's fucking work, dog. All respect to Dyche.
With the point, it puts them up to 15th, albeit the games kind of mix up as to like who has a game in hand or not around that area of the pitch.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Still, it puts them in good stead. I kind of, one of the few who actually kind of believe that the bottom three might stay as is. The only one I could probably see swapping out is I could see West Ham and Leeds might swap. But besides that, I actually could see West Ham probably going now. I just think that they're really lacking goals. They can't find goals at all. So yeah, either way, the conversation was more about Chelsea. I actually don't know what to say. Chelsea draw against Madrid in the Champions League. That's more something to talk about later when we talk about the draw in the whole. But how have you felt about Chelsea these last few weeks? They felt rejuvenated. They are scoring again. That's the most important thing. They now have that would be 8 goals in 4 games. So how are you feeling about Chelsea more recently?
I gotta start on a negative and then move on to the light. They need to find a way to stop conceding goals, man. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because obviously what I just said sounds like you need to find a way to win every single game ever. It's not that simple, but Chelsea seems to have minor lapses in concentration in the back there and always get punished. Because they would go 70, 80 minutes looking in control and finish a game 2-2. And that's not right. You know what I mean? They have to find a way to just stay switched on in the back there, because it's always some lapse of concentration that has ended up biting them. And they are still a team that don't score freely, right? They make chances and whatever. They don't have anybody clinical up there. So even though you make a lot of chances, you're probably going to score about 2 for the most in a game, right? Can't be conceding 1. You know what I mean? Okay, concede 1, they go 2-1, and then these players don't have the balls now, boy, to play in high-pressure situations, in my opinion, at least. Because who in that team is a big player? If we being real about this, right? They don't really have anyone in control. They don't have that guy right now, so they have to find a way to keep their focus. Apart from that, though, look, their stats been good over the last 4, 5, 6 games. The point where they started scoring had to come eventually. Glad that it's here, because they're finally decent to watch Chelsea play football again. Kai didn't watch them for a while. Games was
and
too boring.
I own Kai Havertz. That is the most important thing. Yeah. I own Kai Havertz.
Penalty merchant. So there you go. But yeah, man. But in positive, though, it have a lot to like about this team. The front five is so fluid. It's nice to watch. And that front five includes James and Chilwell, just putting out there. Real fluid stuff. I mean, Chilwell does make overlapping runs or interchanging runs with number 11 a lot. Whoever, I forget his name. Yeah. Felix, yeah. Felix and thing does switch a lot, which I think is kind of fun to watch.
I thought Felix had some real nice moments in this game, you know.
Yeah.
Like, outside of his goal, I do get like people who say Felix is like a real aesthetic player, but you just wonder how effective he is. I do think that he can be effective, just sometimes the team. Like, I watch Chelsea going forward, and like I think, like, I don't think they coordinate their runs well, if I can phrase it like that. Then the way that players run when somebody has a ball in a certain situation, like, there are players that don't attack zones properly. That's what I'm trying to say. You know,
yeah.
And therefore, in terms of progressing to make chances, they make it very difficult for themselves. Because now, if you're a wide player somebody doesn't try and make that overlapping run to open that lane, then the only option is to come back. Easy to cut off that or narrow it down and then force you all the way back. Or somebody pops up on the inside of the box now to then provide the next option. And make it hard to mark your out games. And then trust players to receive balls in tight areas, which seems to also be lacking. That trust amongst them that, you know, somebody could take it in a tight area, except for Zhao. Zhao was the only one who was receiving it with a man in his back and would turn him, would flick him, would move around him and stuff like that. You know?
I think Felix looked like he wanted to play as a 10 in a structured team where he had no structure. And maybe that might be the best thing for him.
I don't know
where he's going to find that team, though. He wants to be Muller.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, that's what he wants to be. But unless he goes to Bayern, he's not going to find that. Because teams moving away from that model.
I think a big reason as to why Chelsea does league goals is because they just don't have a real defensive presence in the midfield to help cut transitional play. I do think Kovar and Enzo work hard off the ball, but I think somebody turns out like have that natural instinct to go out there to win the ball, to recycle play, to help sustain pressure. Like, no, one of our biggest strengths, though, is our ability to win duels and to win second balls and to just sustain, put teams under sustained pressure. Chelsea don't do that.
See, but you all have an extra guy in the midfield, though. Chelsea don't have that.
We get one.
Yeah.
Tell you to play three at the back.
Yeah, either that or...
I mean, to be fair, right? We play essentially 2-3-5, kind of, right?
You don't defend that way, though.
No, I know. But in terms of that first phase of defending as we lose the ball, those players will roughly still be in that shape, right? You know, we do a lot of rest defending, you know? And with that comes players that it doesn't seem like we have a lot of players in defending, but we are in the right areas to try and pick off balls and sustain pressure. You know, Chelsea just don't do that at all. You know, like, I totally get the argument of, like, Partey versus Jorginho, or, like, who should start and who does bring what to the table, I think. But something that Partey has over Jorginho, and I think over everybody in this league, is his ability to win back the ball and to keep teams cycled under pressure. Like, consistently. And I've seen how, though, sometimes we might not even be playing that well, but the fact that you just keep teams pinned back and you're going at them and at them and at them and at them and at them, you just cause them to crumble.
Well, that's what you get when you play with a six, right? And Chelsea don't play with a six. They play with somewhat of a double pivot, if you want to call
it
that.
If I tell you, so I thought we played with a double pivot.
Y'all? No. Nah,
so, I think we do in the sense that, like, Zinchenko or Partey form a double pivot, in my mind.
Nah, I don't agree with that. I think Zinchenko always goes out wide when he needs to. And that's not what pivot is.
But, like, I don't know, dog. Like, I've seen, like, so many iterations of what we do. Like, I've seen people say that we play 2-2-6. I've seen people say we play 2-3-5. And we've just become so free structurally. Like, I think, like, when you compare our system to Pep, it's not that similar. Like, I think there's similar philosophies, you know, in the way that we play, and similar requirements in terms of, like, the technical level that is required of players or stuff like that. But I think the way that we execute is very different. I don't mean the Pep this season, I mean prime Pep, with all due respect to the City team that I still respect highly, obviously. But I mean, like, when he has a 9 that does all the requirements that he wants, not just what Haaland is doing, but all the other stuff too, and have wingers that could combine high levels of athleticism with high technical ability and stuff like that. So, Asher Alfadi. Yeah, how do you think you want to say about Chelsea before we talk about the title race?
No, not really. Maybe for the summer, they should probably go out and try to get a 6. Even if they continue to play in a 3-4-3. I think Enzo next to somebody who's kind of like NDD from 4 years ago. I can't think of anybody else. So let's
go with
that
guy.
That would be nice. Lavia. Shit, I don't even know who that is. But Yeah, get him then.
He's played for Southampton.
Wow.
If I show you where the way it is, don't tell you.
Not a Croatian winger.
No. He's a defensive. Well, he's a midfielder. Like, our next one they can sign to is like Doucouré from Palace. I really like him. I've been impressed.
He's not 6 though. Seen him.
But, like, they don't play with a 6. They play with a defensive 8, I guess.
They should play with a 6. Oh, okay. They have to leave their men back because they can't put 7 people forward. And, dog, the moment you lose the ball in transition, you are effed. All right? Yeah.
Thank you.
But real talk, though, you can't just put 7 people forward. Somebody had to be more conservative. And I don't think that's Fernandes.
I also, I like Fernandes a lot. You know this.
Yeah.
I really, really do. I've noticed, though, that sometimes with his passes, he puts too much height on longer balls. I haven't noticed that either. But I find, like, because it takes so long to come down, that, like, by the time somebody receives it, they're under pressure one time.
He probably don't have the power.
Yeah. That is nitpicking, though. Because there's a player that I do like. And I think that for the most part, given the circumstances, he's been good for Chelsea.
I mean, if you're a technical player, you have to be nitpicked at.
Yeah. Facts.
Probably don't have the power.
Last one before we take a little break is Arsenal. We won 4-1 today. It's supposed to be a sponsored break, but I have not recorded the sponsorship jingle in a while. So, Gillette, guys, we sponsored by Kit Pundit. We are now on Qued. I don't know how it's actually pronounced that word, but the app where there's Trinidadian stores in it, we are in it now. And I'll be uploading catalogs as fast as I can. So, look out for that.
Send catalog.
Arsenal, we won 4-1 today. I was telling somebody today, I was telling Nottingham Forest.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we used to, like, help men stat pad more. Like, when we have teams beaten, keep going. Like, I think we do so much of, we have a 3-goal gap, manage game. Rock back, relax.
Well,
and I think that's professional, and I get that, and I get, like, don't exert yourself when you don't need to because the season is long, and all that. Eh? But, like, my brothers, I have agendas to run. Well, they can run up all your goals and assists, please.
I think it have two schools of thought, right? Because in running up the goals and assists, that's how you stay hungry. It's that ability to go 3-0 up, 4-0 up, and still play like if you're 1-0 down. That's good. The other side to that coin, though, is that when you have players that need to play midweek and then the next weekend and the next weekend after that, then you had to also think about players' fitness. I think you could run a score with a big squad. I don't think you all have that.
I think you probably kind of show that too, right? That is not as big as it probably could be. Now, I do think that, I think, like, what we are doing, or what we are seeing, rather, is that the floor is keep raising, right? But obviously, there are certain players that you could swap them in and out, and the drop-off isn't that bad, you know?
True.
Like, I think that we could drop Tomiyasu in for one of the centre-backs, or more often I drop him at right-back. I don't think the quality drops off that much. I think he'd come in, do a real good job, plug and play, be good. I think Jorginho, for the most part, especially games where we hold the ball, he could plug and play for Partey.
Trossard has been phenomenal,
bro. Like, oh my goodness. That's his seventh assist for us. Since he's arrived. Seventh in a party. Like, the most of the league this year is 12 in a dog. And he have 7 since he joined. And he joined in January. To me, that's like, that's mind-blowing, right? But then there are players who are either coming back from injury or still acclimatizing, like Smith Rowe. Like Vieira, and you know, I think that you saw that in Europa League where the level does drop down a little bit. But before I will talk about Europa League and I'll explain how I feel about losing and being out of the competition when we get to that. But for today, Look, Saka is brilliant. Saka is now 8 goals. Now let me not say it like that. Saka is now 3 goals and 5 assists away from joining the 15 and 15 club, where only 5 players in or 4 players in Premier League history have ever done that. Henry, Cantona, Hazard, and I believe Andy Cole, but I could be so wrong. I'll double check that when I later talk and I'll give people the correct thing. But it is, look, he's 21 years old, he's immaculate, he is not the captain, but he leads his team in so many ways, man. The amount of all his goals until today were openers or equalizers. He assisted the opener with a good turn of the defender and a good cut back across the box. Martinelli continues to be our top scorer. He's now 1 goal off of Rashford in the league. And I think that when you put into perspective how Rashford has been viewed this year, and a lot of it rightly so, that Martin probably deserves a lot more flowers than he gets, you know? And I think ever since Trossard came into the 11 over in Nketiah, we've seen Nelly go back to how he was before. Yeah. And I think that kind of shows me now where probably the squad should be going. But I think Nketiah did well in servicing for while Jesus was out. But I think maybe we should really be looking to have multiple players that could perform similar roles rather than have necessarily a very wide-marked alternative then. Because Nketiah is starkly different from Jesus. And while there are strikes to the way that he plays, and I don't think that, you know, at least not in the manner that we did. I don't think we beat United in the manner that we did, or some of the other wins that he's helped us get. But maybe we win them in other ways. And when I watch the football we play without him, and with somebody who's willing to play the way that Trossard and Jesus plays, the whole team just scores more goals. And maybe we should be looking to build the squad in a way to have more like-for-like replacements in that kind of way. I thought Holland was decent today, coming in for Saliba. From what I understand and what I've read, is that Saliba had a late test to actually play today. So therefore, if he had a late test that he could have played today, I really don't think the injury that bad. I think we should see him right after the international break. Because that's 2 weeks from now. He got 2 weeks just to rest up. And it's a lower back pain that he had get. I really doubt that goes beyond that. Yeah. Tommy, I see on the other hand, I really like the man. Yeah, I think so too. And I really like the man, don't get me wrong. I do. But again, availability is the best ability. And it don't make sense having him on the box if we can't play him. And that is 2 seasons in a row since he's been here that he's been missing big chunks of it through injury. And I don't think that's good enough anymore. Ben White, hey, brilliant, man. He's so good. He's such a good player. And continues to show it every single week. I think that he is up there with some of the best right backs in the world this season. I think, well, a lot of our players are. I think Patrick Vieira is extremely unlucky to get sacked. Now, should they be doing better? Yes. I don't deny that. But you are 12, bro. You wasn't doing that bad. And I think that he at least deserves to see all this season. In my opinion.
Yeah. I think so too. It's not like they was going to get relegated. So.
But. On that note, but. I was actually going to tell you. Go ahead. And just talk. I'll go ahead and see if I can find the start.
Well, Tal, just if you're a thing. I mean. Look. I think I said it before. That. With a squad that talented. They should be doing better. But. He probably didn't deserve to get sacked. Right now. That's all I got to say about that. And then. With Arsenal. I mean. I think it's time to start looking at what the next phase is. Y'all are established as a big club once again. What is the next phase? I think bringing in some midfielders is important, and signing a right back definitely is important too. Because if you could get a non-center back right back, I think that could be nice, you know, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't know who that guy could be, but it have options. I mean, people got exposed after the World Cup. That Juranovic guy looks good. Is that him? Yeah, Juranovic. He looked good. Couldn't really think of any other right backs, but Look, I realized though that with the shorts as a right backs, he's seen a lot more of centre backs playing out wide or DMs playing
I'll
out
be
wide.
Real though, I'm not just saying this because he's playing well. I real good with Ben White being the starting right back though.
Like, no, it's fine.
I don't mind having an alternative to though, somebody who's more overlapping, more naturally closer to our wing back maybe, because I think there's games it's a call for that. And I do think that in a real, real pinch, Sliver could also probably play right back if we really want to maintain that whole center back and right back mode. But then the thing is, I watch how Ben White does play, right? I don't think that he plays like if a center back is playing at right back. You know, he does overlap. He does get forward. He does play in half spaces and in pockets and stuff. So, like, to say, like, yeah, now overlapping wing back would be like changing the system. I don't. I think it's just somebody probably have a bit more pace and athleticism and stuff.
I don't think you're changing his system. I think you're getting a better player. And as I said, you had to look forward. So if we were to isolate some of the weaker parts of this team, I would put White there as a guy that could be evolved. Not that he's having a bad season at all. He's having a pretty good season, but could it get better? I think it could get better at right back. I think it could get better than Xhaka too. Especially since, he's having a bad season, but...
No, I love him.
One?
You know I love him.
Yeah. You love him, but he's a limited player. One, I don't know how long he can stay this good because he's kind of old now. So before he fully Jordan Henderson his career, he might have to look forward.
And I do think that we are wary of that though. So I know that we are going to do all that we can to sign Declan Rice in the summer. And from what I understand from reading and stuff, that we are his favorite destination. That we are where he wants to go. So
go ahead, sorry.
With that in mind, I don't think that he's going to come and play as a number six immediately. I think we would probably try and play him as the lefty and evolve on in the next way and see where the next iteration kind of goes. I do want midfielders though. I really would have liked to sign McAllister. I think like he is like the best way of upgrading that very specific position.
Yeah. Or maybe if, because I think McAllister is not athletic enough for that. Because Xhaka does do a lot of defending. You might want somebody a little bigger. It have Mikel Merino. Yoko Gambai, left footed.
Yeah, he's real good too. Though.
Yeah. People like him.
I would like a more winger. Because like I don't see Trossard as a real option on the left wing now, boy. You know?
I think you need a right winger because apart from Saka, you have nobody. And I actually have the answer for you. You always need a Japanese in your team. Go and get Kubo. Simple.
No, that is not what you always need, boy. You know what you always need?
No, you need jobs.
No, dog. We gotta get a Croatian, dog. Every chap is with us for the last call knows how long have a Croatian. So you see Radovich fella? Yeah, for real.
Yeah, get him. Really no, but every sad. But every rebel have a Japanese. And look, Ole had Ole on, you know, he
I
was
went,
Japanese.
I know, wait to see. I went through that already in my life as a supporter.
Yeah.
I'm good.
So you're by Mitoma then.
Yeah, all that. Sure, why not? Okay.
Nah, but you need a winger though. But one thing, because Saka is good. The day he decides to get injured, though,
I told you. Yeah,
I assume.
The thing is, though, and I say that's knocking over there. I think Saka is built like players like Salah, where they just are robust. And he's just that. No, I know. But, like, Liverpool do have a backup for Salah.
Right? You know? Is Liverpool season good right now?
No, I know, but it's not for a lack of backup for Salah, though. Right?
Well,
it's for like, Van Dijk went down,
they miss him.
Right. Correct.
Saka is kind of Ole Van Dijk, no?
Yeah. Look, my point is like, unless you have like, the wealth of resources that like City have, I think players of that caliber, play, I think Saka's the best right to get the world right now for the season. I think he has been. And I don't think like you get somebody. Not just to back up him, you know. But like to
understand. I have Messi leaving PSG.
Hey, you're real funny. I would not mind, like... Sorry.
Try and poach Mahrez.
Shut up! I'm trying to make a point. Imagine like knowing that like your game time going to be limited because like for example, Trossard probably thought like, okay, well, Martel is Martel, yeah, me. I probably have a real chance of pushing him again at the 11, however. Now it turns out, like I say, I don't watch Trossard as a winger because like, all wingers need to be fast and explosive in combination of good dribblers, however, right? He's just not that, but he's highly technical, good in tight spaces, so he could play the role that Jesus is playing that way, you know. I would want, but yeah, so but then on Saka's side now is like, where we're bringing, they know they're not going to play over Saka,
you know. Yes, I think you might be bringing some. That's why I think our young player is the man here, a young player, yeah. Or somebody that passed the prime.
You know how I would love to get, boy,
that Mahrez could work, you know,
yeah,
but I would say Kubo at first.
Exactly,
he will play in the Champions League, he will probably play sometimes, whatever. He will play in the Champions League, right? And he probably won't play every game, but he will come on here and there. And Saka ever get injured, boom, every game he had to play now. Just because he left footed. But if not him, yeah, go ahead. Who?
Nico Williams, why? From
you right footed though.
No, but I think he real both footed. And he normally does play on the right wing. But like, I think it's a good option for somebody who knows how to play both wings. And we can look at it and see what comes from it, you know?
See, but Trossard used to play on the right too. You could almost say the same for him. I think you need, if you're going for a Saka replacement, you have so much right-footed wingers. Even Nelson could do something. I say go for the differential and get somebody left-footed. It have people, dog. It have this man called Luis Henrique from Betis. He's really good, dog. And he's left-footed. And he is faster than everybody in the team. And he might be the one, too. And nobody's even talked about this man. And I only see him... I see him when they draw to Barca in some cup. And he had a phenomenal game. And I was like, damn, who's this? And I went and watched a couple of Betis games. Man is a player. Take a look at him. I'd have others. Tell others out there, too. Get Kubo. That title right there.
No, I can't even remember last time I hear something.
He don't play.
About Kubo.
He don't play. I was just joking. But
I want to talk title race real fast before we go into the next part of the pod. Arsenal now 8 points clear of Man City. Yes. Man City also are lacking in the dog department because they are no longer them. Like when they say somebody had a dog.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks for catching one.
But they have a football, though.
I don't care. They can however they want. Point being, like, people keep waiting for City to go on this run, right? And City current run that they're on right now is actually the longest that they've had whole season, where they are on a 3-game win run. Arsenal are actively on a 5-game win run in the Premier League, you know? I think that people are waiting for City to go on this run. I genuinely don't think the run is going to ever come. And I do think that, for what it's worth, specifically about Arsenal winning the league, how things played off in Europe this week probably was the best for them. Now, okay, you know what? I'm going to use this little period here to talk about the whole sporting thing. I wanted to be clear. I wanted us to win the Europa League. Because I believe, as a club as big as Arsenal, our European achievements is very poor. Having only 2 UEFA Cups, which is what is now known as Europa League, is poor. It's not good enough. And we need to be doing better. However, I don't think that Arteta mismanaged the ties. I think that there is some... Look, dog, men hit the post in extra time or kind of thing, right? And what I think people need to understand is that we can't just go full strength and... Men get injured in these same games when we have our actual title on the line. And the reality is the Premier League trumps the Europa League. And so we have to rotate in the Champions League, and in the Europa League, sorry, to maintain men for the Premier League. And I think that has served us well. I think we've split the Europa League games pretty half and half between players so that they stay fresh, they get minutes in their legs, and we were keeping it ticking on. Look, we lost on pens. We lost on a very narrow margin to what I think is a really good coach. And he's coached a really good team. I thought Sporting were really good in the bow ties. You know? I don't think they made it easy for us. The only little difference that Arteta did that I would have done different, I would have brought on Odegaard way sooner because it's him. And we know what he brings to this team. And Vieira wasn't having a good game in the second leg against Sporting. I thought Ashton Vieira had a good game in the first leg. I thought he was pretty good. Second leg, not so much. Right? So, I'm now going to say this next part, with you all knowing that I am saying, I wanted Arsenal to win the Europa League. And I am disappointed about the fact that we went out. But I'm being so real with all of you. I find it very hard to get really upset about not being in the Europa League. It's the Europa League. And I'm really hoping not to have to see that for the next few years again. You know? But I admit Arsenal need to be improving their pedigree in Europe. And coming out of the Europa League does not help that. That being said, being out of the Europa League and the type of ties that Bayern was given, that Man City was given in the Champions League, I think helps us. Because they have to play very hard in the Champions League. You know? Because it's Bayern, right? It's Bayern. Yep. They have to play the Champions League. You know?
Yeah.
And they have to play us, I believe, right after, if they go through the Champions League, right after one of the semifinals. Another game that they can't take lightly.
Mm-hmm.
If we went through, we would have had to play Juventus and then possibly Man United around that same period that they're talking about here. So, I think that all these things does play in favor of us for the Premier League. I think we've shown better capability of sustaining runs, sustaining wins than they have. And I think the table obviously reflects that. I think our away record is a big reason to that. Man City have only won half of their away games this season. We've only not won 2 out of 13 or 14, something like that. And yeah, how are you feeling about the title race now?
I was just checking the stats real quick. Okay, so City does have a game in hand. Who would that be City against? Who cares, actually? It doesn't even matter. And yeah, 8 points clear, so I just said. To address the Europa League thing real quick, I think it was on mismanagement. I would have go full strength, especially since you all just draw to this team. Sporting has been playing good. So I would go full strength, knowing very well that the international break coming up. And this is a part that I think is not talked about much, but I would then tell my key players, fake an injury in training, come back home, rest for 2 weeks. Simple. Get COVID or something. It's pretty easy to do that these days. So, yeah. I'll go full strength in that game. I think it's better to start on the right foot than end on the right foot. Maybe you start with the 11, you go 2-0 up, and then rest and rotate players, whatever. But it was his decision to make. He obviously have more information than us anyway, and with a load of analysts and physiotherapists and whatever, he probably made what he felt to be the correct decision. Moving on from that, the title race. It's the same as I feel the same about it as that time me and you had a conversation in my car back in Trinidad after y'all whooped United. It's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's not something I would be confident about at all. City has too much pedigree in this league to be taken lightly. And regardless of if odds stacked against them or in their favor or in whose favor, to me it doesn't matter. Because it's still City, and they have proven it in this league. Y'all have not. Y'all are the ones that
have been. What I would say, though, they have not proven that they could do it 3 times in a row. And I think that does actually take a toll on players.
See, I don't think know
that they've shown this season that they can't sustain runs. They have been unable to sustain winning runs.
I know, right? And somehow when Madrid goes to Champions League, they win games.
So it's like the same thing for like Pep and City in the league. Okay.
I think so. I can't find but Pep has openly said that his players are not hungry anymore, which is fine. It's something that I think we all knew already, because how many times they're going to win the league?
City, up until last weekend, right? Because they didn't play this weekend. City was still on the same average points pace that they have been over the last 4 years. Where they are now is where they kind of have been expected to be, regardless, on the average of the last four seasons, right? Where they've won three out of those four league titles. And what Arsenal are just doing right now is just superior. You know, it's just near supernatural what we're doing, you know?
And so in that, it's already a season that is not normal. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's normal.
I'm not trying to shit on Arsenal for I'll be winning real. The league and saying
that
it's not
I don't
normal.
Think that what we're doing now, I don't think Liverpool ever do this to City. I don't think City have ever felt like they was in this position before. Because like,
probably not.
The two times that Liverpool and City were in title races,
mm-hmm.
Liverpool at this point in the season had already tanked the lead. They had already tanked the league, the lead, to something like 2 points or 1 point or something. And then I think Liverpool had drawn to United in April, and that was when City had went past them. I just had kept winning after that. And City were just winning endlessly. That kept putting pressure on Liverpool, and Liverpool cracked. Whereas even when we cracked, we bounced back. Liverpool had never bounced back. And then now, last season, which was the second title race, this gonna sound so bad, boy, but I think it in hindsight, it wasn't so much a title race as much as it was City was doing City. Liverpool had games in hand because of like COVID and stuff like that, and after the games in hand, it had put them in a position of where, oh, we close to City, we had to push them to win the league. But it always felt, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it always felt like Liverpool were running out of gas just trying to keep pace with City, rather than it ever felt like if, we could pass City.
Yeah. I could agree with most of that,
And but, so now, I think what we're doing here is that, one, we come out in a position I know that they didn't see coming. Two, with the exception of when they beat us, and I still maintain that I do think that if we had played with Jesus and with Partey, that we might not have won, but I don't think we lose. You know? Especially, like, when you look at, like, the little instances that happened. Oh, and Ben White. I forgot that, too. Right? All that happened. Whereas, there's actually a graphic that City has been the second most fortunate team in the league with injuries this year. Arsenal is ninth on players with most time or something like that. I don't think that we lose that game. And I still think that game was very even across the balance of the two halves.
Is City's injury thing fortune or good management?
I think it's a bit of both. Because, like, I think, like, when you watch, like, players, like, Haaland had come into the league this year. And, like, we know what his injury record was before. And he hasn't really missed much time out of injury.
Don't play 90 anymore, though.
Yeah.
Alan will score 2 goals and wrap it up by the 61st minute. He couldn't do that in Dortmund. He don't sprint as much either.
But even players who do play 90 that have had bad injury records, they have been better this year.
Like KDB, maybe?
Like, yeah, like KDB, like Gundo.
KDB don't even play back-to-back games anymore. KDB would play this weekend and miss next weekend and play and miss. I'd have to take him off my FPL side. I know this for sure. Could be good management. So, I just don't like the word
fortune. I think it is good management, but I think like there's a point where, okay, like take Saliba, right? Saliba get hit in the back by a player.
That is misfortune. Injury. I would say that for sure.
Right. And
that
is nothing to
manage off of that. Yeah.
Right. So that, I was about to say, like, I think management could only go so far.
But then, you know, the other thing is, too, if Ruben Diaz got injured, John Stones comes in and it's fine. But Saliba gets injured and Holding comes in and it's a problem. Basically, what I'm saying. Like, you don't miss their injuries that much. Because Foden was injured.
I think we was unlucky that Saliba get injured in the same game that Tommy has to get injured. Because.
Yes.
I think, like, if it was just one, or rather, not one, because if it was Yasu, nobody really business. But Saliba get injured, Tommy Yasu just start, and Ben White either go back to centre-back, or Tommy Yasu go into centre-back, it didn't matter. I think that is just unlucky. That in itself is just real unlucky. that the two of them happened in the same game, like 10 minutes apart or whatever. But
in terms of the title, look, I think I started in a way that make it sound like I wanted to say yes, City gonna win the title for sure. That's not the point I was trying to make. I was just trying to say that I can't be so confident. I'm not gonna speak for anybody else, but I don't know who gonna win this title. Arsenal in a good shape, but I'll be wary of being confident because I think that the odds might slightly be stacked against Arsenal because that mental part of the game is something that nobody talks about. We will only bring up the stats and say City have never done this before. City not looking good. Arsenal are flying. Boom, bang, bang.
But what about like the mental stuff that Arsenal have shown this season then? We've come back from losing positions more than anybody else.
Yeah, no, but you're going into the unknown now, which is
to win a title. It has all been unknown to this point now. You know, like our away record, like nobody saw that coming. I didn't see that coming. You know, our ability to come back from losing positions, two goals down and stuff like that, are we coming back to All those unknowns that we've seen unraveling before our eyes now. You know, of this team's mental capacity to believe and to do these things, actually go out and do these things. And so, like, if they keep it on that trajectory, then obviously it's a trajectory, right? It is projecting forward. We don't know. But going on that trajectory, it's hard for me to see that it does not continue. You know, like, I don't see some game come up or some opponent coming up that City aside, and I really do believe that we leave in the Etihad with at least a draw, that I go there and I think like, yeah boy, you know, this we might cover some pressure or anything like that. And this is really the point I wanted to sell with the whole City thing with Liverpool, right? I don't think Liverpool ever put City under pressure. Whereas I think that we are in like restoring point gaps. And even when we go down and we come back from behind, and when they play first and we still come and win. And Virgil just said it on the pod a week that he hates when we play first because they drop points after that because there's pressure on them to respond. And I think that there have been points this season where City have shown that mentality that we have grown to know about them might be slipping. You know, at least at least in the league. You know, because I can't remember a time in Pep's history that we've gone the entirety of the league season so far and they can't string 6 wins together in a row. And their longest win streak right now is 3 wins in a row.
I think it's fantastic points. And your points is what makes me uncertain about City. If that makes sense. For the most part, on Team City. And everything that I say, it makes a lot of sense.
You're supposed to be Team me, bro. It's a part of fun. You have no leg in this. You're supposed to be supporting me. I say, brethren.
Well, I meant
all
team,
for Barca winning the league.
Yeah, when I meant team, I meant who I think going to win. If I had to, if somebody put a gun to my head and say who's going to win, quicker bet on City than Arsenal. It's nothing personal, if that makes sense. I would support you, though. But it's nothing personal. Okay. If it came down to life and death, I would bet Pep.
That's fair.
But I think it's close. That's all.
I think it
if,
is though.
If City won the league, would you be surprised?
No. Yes. Right. China. I don't
and
know.
If Arsenal
ask
won
me
the league,
question, ask me the question you was asking with the group today.
If Arsenal lost the league, is it a disappointing season?
Nah. I'd be in real with
you. I don't think so either.
I really enjoy this year. I have. I've seen us go toe-to-toe with this behemoth that's not City. I genuinely don't care about City. We've gone toe-to-toe with this behemoth called Pep Guardiola, who is a league killer, who destroys leagues at will, you know? And regardless of what happens, we are going to push him to the final last days of the season.
Yeah.
100%. And I think that in itself, after coming fifth, and I predicted third. For us, it is a brilliant year. And now, is it sour that we didn't win a title? Because that means we wouldn't have won any trophies at all, right? Yeah. I've been real with you. I would not trade our season. Let me say, as they stand, all United win this year is a Carabao and they come to it. I would not trade this season for getting our one trophy onto it. I think what we've done this season is special. Agree. I think what we've done is we've laid the foundation to go on in future years to probably compete for the title again. Or God will compete for a Champions League. I can't say that about where other teams is right now. I won't trade what we've done. And
yeah, I 100% with you.
So, on that note, guys, because I think that's actually a pretty beautiful note to leave it on, we're going to take a break. And we'll be back with the trivia. I'll explain to you guys and Daniel what the trivia is.
Fantastic.
And we'll talk some Champions League. And yeah, see you guys in a bit. Take care.
Very good.
And we are back, guys. So, the trivia today is guess the player. And how it works is I'm going to call out clubs one at a time. Five clubs in total. Daniel has to guess what's the player that played for all five of these clubs. Right? Normally, we do these things with a theme. But because it's just the first time we do it, I just chose five random players. Right? So, Daniel, like I say, I'm going to call one club at a time. And you're going to have to link these clubs together. Right?
All right.
So, let me just say... Let me say it was who played for like a billion clubs, boy? SCN, right? If I said Chelsea, you might say Drogba. Then I say Madrid, you might say Rudiger. Then I say some AC Milan. Then you might get that is SCN, right?
Okay, so it could be a retired player.
Yes, it can.
Anybody. Okay, cool.
Actually,
God, you really can't tell
no. Knowledge, all these players are active. No. All these players are active. Don't worry.
They're all active. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, they're all active players. Cool. So let's get with the first one. Kevin so the Molina, first club. Ah, who's it?
Kevin Molino.
I mean, so real, and that's probably so bad. I don't even know what club Kevin Molino plays for right now.
Cincinnati, I think. I don't know. Just Columbus Crew. It's Columbus Crew.
Yes. That is it.
See?
Okay.
Hey.
The first club is Novara. It is a Portuguese club.
I was supposed to guess this. I don't know who they are.
It's a Portuguese club. Guess a Portuguese player.
Jeez, man. What? Vertonghen. Moving on.
No, it's not Vertonghen.
Thank you.
The next club I'll give you is Sporting Lisbon.
Ooh.
Guys at home. I hope
they're going to have come through the ranks at Sporting, right? Just because I don't know, I'm going to say Pedro Goncalves. No, wait, no, that's too good. No, that's so stupid because he's young. And I have no way he played for five clubs. Move on.
The next club I'll give you is Sampdoria.
Man. I don't know anybody on that.
You know, you look so defeated. <You're> bad.
Skip. Pagliarella. Move on.
The next club I'll give you is Udinese.
Great.
Damn. So two Portuguese, two Italian clubs.
There's a Brazilian center back from Udinese. Bafia's name. But I want to go if he start a Brazilian center back. You know what I'm talking about?
It's not him.
Okay, thanks. Move on.
The last club is Man United. He's an active player in football on the whole. He would be playing for one of these clubs.
It
is Novara, which is a Portuguese club.
Yeah, Sporting
is a Portuguese club.
The United.
Udinese, Sampdoria, and United.
And United. The one thing I could have given United first, at least I'll have a guess.
I'm supposed to make it difficult for you.
Fred?
No, is Bruno Fernandes.
I didn't know he played in Italy.
Yeah, so, like, he played for Novara first, then he went to Italy, completely flopped, went back Sporting, catch back himself, and now he's...
I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea he played. Because when he said Sporting, I thought about him. Well, when he said Sporting United, I thought about him, but I forgot. Nah, he didn't play in Italy. I'll try for it. All right, cool.
Okay. Next. I'll get an easier one first.
Thanks.
Leeds United.
Hold on, that won't be proper with this. Roca.
Nah. No problem. Next club would be Sporting. The same Sporting as one. He doesn't Nyonto. Have to be at any of these clubs now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I guess in Nyonto.
Nah, not Nyonto.
Oh, okay.
Next one is Victoria de Guilhermes, which is a Brazilian, club. Yeah.
So this guy is Brazilian. Any Brazilian that I could think of. You know what's the biggest problem here? Yeah? I don't even know Sporting team like that, you know.
It's okay. I don't realize I called two Sporting players back to back. That's just tough.
Nah, that's cool. But I can't think of any Brazilian that play for Leeds. Rafinha.
It is Rafinha. Well done, Patrick! That's true. Yeah, so he went from Vitória de Guilhermes to Sporting, then to Rennes, which was going to be next club I see, then Leeds and so, Barcelona.
Yeah, Rennes would have probably given it away.
Cool.
I don't know if he would play for Sporting.
So that's 3 points on the board, Patrick. We got that probably good. Well done.
Bam, bam, next, bam, bam.
Next player. Roma.
Roma? Mm-hmm. Oh, current? I did the DRC one time. Roma.
Think about players I would have played for a lot of clubs.
Yeah. Look, I need to stop going for the first player that I think, right? Because I'm going to say Tammy. Actually, he might be about it. But actually, I need to stop going for young players. Because the first player I'm thinking on is all young players. And I have no way them play for about 5, 6, 7 clubs. Dybala.
No, not Dybala. Not a bad show, though. Next club would be Fiorentina.
Wonder if this man plays for who? Nah, I don't think so. Feeling like it's Italian.
I will not comment.
Yeah. Oh man. Don't know who I want to say. I was gonna guess Patricio.
Oh, no. Okay. No, it's not Patricio. Next club I'll give you is Chelsea.
Oh, nice. Maybe I should have said Tammy, you know? Nah, I have no way he played for Fiorentina. I have no way he played for Fiorentina. There's just no way. So, Chelsea, what? Chelsea to Roma? Or Roma to Chelsea, whatever. Jorginho?
I figure, yeah, I guess that, but no, it's not Jorginho. Next club will be Liverpool.
Man.
So Chelsea, Liverpool, Roma, Fiorentina.
Yeah. Chelsea, Liverpool. Chelsea and Liverpool. Oh, it's Salah.
It is Salah. That is okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 4. Well done. Damn. That's 5 points you have on the board.
When did he play for Fiorentina?
He went on.
Really in his career or something?
He started off in Basel, went to Chelsea from Basel. Chelsea loaned him to Fiorentina, who eventually bought him out. Then he moved to Roma from there, then went to play Chelsea.
Yeah, Salah. I mean,
Liverpool.
No, yeah. Liverpool. God.
Cool.
All over the place.
Yes, Ajax.
Oh, thanks, everybody in the whole world. that's a good one. Tadic.
Not bad. That's actually a pretty good show, but no. Next would be Barcelona.
E. Zlatan.
Hey, what the fuck? Are you 4 points?
I already know that. Don't play with me, dog. Don't play with me.
To be fair, I feel like it had a real better kind of beer, like Ronald Koeman.
No, it did. But he not playing.
Oh, right. They not playing. Correct.
Hell yeah. Okay. Give me that.
Last player. I'll get you one after this as a bonus. But the last one I just called.
Why not? Yes, please.
Harry Venn. It's a Dutch club. Song,
Dutch. Yeah, okay, cool. This is where I don't know if Robin retire. So I'm not gonna say him.
You actually know the badge in it though.
You should, right?
It was this blue and white badge that's one of these foundation cards in FIFA 21, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
It was the right wing guy. What are you talking about?
If you give me his name? I think I know what you're talking about. He was real fast though.
Yes.
I think I use him in my team. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if Robin's still active, so I'm not going to say him. So I'll just go for some other Dutchy. Freaking Van Dijk would be too easy. Delict.
Nah, not Delict.
No, he come through Ajax. God damn. All right, go ahead.
Real Madrid.
Dutch Madrid. I mean, shit, unless he's not Dutch. Can't think of any Dutch players that played for Madrid off the top of my head. So, Alaba.
Who?
Alaba.
Oh, no, it's not Alaba. Next club, Real Sociedad.
Oh, great. Can't be anybody Spanish. Nobody Spanish would play for a Dutch team.
Fair assumption.
Nah, if you're Spanish, you come from Spain. That's how it is. Work. It have no youth player coming out of anybody other than Spain if you're Spanish. I said that in a weird way, but you know what I mean.
Ah, that's what I'm saying.
Kubo.
Nah, not Kubo. Not bad, though. And Kubo come from Madrid, too, eh?
Yeah. And I don't know where he came from before that. So, gonna take a shot on them, man.
Next would be Arsenal.
See, now I'm going back to thinking he Dutch. Because when you said Madrid, I thought, okay, maybe an off nation that come through our Dutch academy that went to Madrid, okay. so I thought he wasn't Dutch. And now I went back to thinking he Dutch.
Patrick, so, what Dutch player you know play for Arsenal? That active.
Man, who you see? Okay, none. I guess none.
Because I don't think it have any. I didn't realize that we had a Dutch player, to be quite honest.
Same for Madrid. Cause who's been Dutch?
Free information. He's not Dutch.
You know what I mean? Yo, I'm starting to figure it out. Arsenal and
Madrid. And Real Sociedad.
Nah, I only Sociedad. That's the one that I feel I'll figure it out.
And some hella random Dutch club.
Who played for Arsenal? Sociedad.
Dog, so said, so done. United with 3-1, dog.
Rafa scored.
Nah.
We're going to score a hat trick.
Bruno scored 2 and Sabitzer got a goal.
Oh, boom. I like that.
Oh,
I
mean, yo!
What's that? Rafa got a red card.
The game was 1-0. And then 2 men get sent off from Fulham in the same minute. They... And then Rash and then Bruno scored a penalty 3 minutes later.
Nah, they fight each other for sure.
Dog, Mitrovic and Willian get set off, though. That means Mitrovic can't play in the next Premier League game.
Which is against who?
I don't know. I don't have him.
Well, I'm looking to bring that defender, whoever it is. I'll just bring that defender. Yeah. Can I easy clean sheet? Dog, so okay, so Arsenal, Madrid, and so Odegaard.
It is Odegaard. Well done. So, that is
one point out.
You have 7 and 4. That's 11. You have 11 out of what could have been. I mean, 25 is real blood. That's the thing is, you're the first one all the time. That is actually kind of ridiculous. But you are now the first person that will be in the quarterfinal rankings on 11 points.
You just message my man. Somebody ever be that, right? But I don't think anybody can be that. The 4 point, that was a big one.
Yeah, well done on his latter one, dog. Bonus
so,
round.
To get a bonus, you had to get all correct.
Yeah, I guess, you had to guess all 5.
Yeah. Players. Who was the first person? I'm again. Who's the first player? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
That rough.
Kind of close. All right.
Bonus
let me see how much points I would have missed out on.
Inter Milan.
La Caca.
Nah. Good show, though. He's playing for another club. Roma.
The Milan Roma. I don't know who played for Roma and Milan. So I'll just...
He's an extremely iconic FIFA card.
What? Roma and Milan? I don't know. Yao Kouassi? Jovinho?
I don't think he played for him, though. No, he didn't. Next club. Antwerp. Royal Antwerp. What? The Belgium club.
Thanks. Thanks. I would have been so bad if I had guessed everything correct and then come to this. Oh, man. No. Yeah, let me just stick on the Roma Milan thing.
Think about Belgium then, who would have played in the Serie A.
Nangolan.
Well done. It is 19. You would have won 3 points extra.
No, I wouldn't have, because I would have just been so pissed. Yeah. I don't want to guess you.
Okay, guys. UCL fallout. Does it even make sense? Anything upsetting happening in games last week? No, not really. So we'll just not talk really. About the UCL draw.
Where it going?
And we could probably talk very slightly about the draw for what is called this thing, the Europa League as well, because you know it's
why not?
It's competitive. That's yes. Sure. I try to find a very specific picture. Right, nice. So we have a rematch of what seems to happen apparently every year now, which is Real Madrid versus Chelsea. How are we feeling?
I think Madrid can win. I think it's that simple. Look, Madrid in this competition just is so an then, unknown factor.
I have a question. You think Madrid can win the UCL?
I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Yeah. But it have teams that could stop them. Because if either Bayern or City could stop them, I think it would be a good game. But they could stop either one of them too, if that makes sense. So yeah. Between that. That's but fine. I will say if they go to the finals, they win.
Yeah, cool.
Because they're not going that far to lose.
Chelsea, for what it's worth, I think Chelsea is probably the club that ran Madrid the closest last year. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, they won in the Bernabeu, if I'm not mistaken. They did, right? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but that was for sure.
Huh?
Too sure. I don't think that's the same Chelsea.
True.
Like, I don't think this Chelsea.
Now tell you what, the Chelsea is the same. It's a whole new set of players. I actually thought for fun, I was looking real good at the weekend. I don't know how he looks second half, but I thought like first half he was real nice.
Centre-back or the new job?
He's centre-back. Yeah, I thought he's good.
Yeah. I find he played good too. And I don't know why Badi or Sheila stopped playing, because I think that guy is class.
Yeah, but, I really like him too, boy. Look, the odds are severely in Madrid's favor, as they always are in the Champions League. However, I maintain that this is probably the weakest Madrid we've seen in a while. Like, it just does not feel like last year, it still felt like they were running at teams when they got going. So, like, even in that Liverpool win, it just felt like a Liverpool more capitulated than anything else. So, I don't know. Like, I kind of agree with you. I agree with you in the sense that it's probably more on Bayern and Man City to knock them out than anybody going to knock them out. That being said, Bayern versus Man City, Pep is going to face his former club. And more importantly, Haaland is going to face a German team again. Last time he did that, he scored 5 goals.
Yeah. And that's why I think that City can win this thing. Just because of Haaland. And Haaland will score against... But against Bayern a lot, even when it was with Dortmund. Yeah. They're a better team now. I think the game starts 2-0 down.
I don't think Bayern were that good against PSG. Just PSG weren't good at all.
So,
actually, to be fair, I think PSG actually, Bayern kind of ride their luck in the first leg, in the second half of the first leg. Because like, were like clearances and some pen shots and goal disallowed and all kind of.
First half of the second leg.
Yeah, it had a goal like that.
So I think Delict.
Yeah. Actually, Delict has been having a great season, by the way. He seems to have found his feet played in this kind of hybrid three at the box system. So, hey, long may continue. I quite like him.
So, is Cancelo going to try to mash up City or something?
He can't play. He will not play. He's not going to play. Yeah. He's not going to play. He's there purely for aesthetic purposes. He can go there, win a Bundesliga league medal, and go to come back and show everybody and be like, this is what it looks like when you win the league in 2023, guys.
Yeah.
Cause...
Unless, anyway.
Shut up.
But I think the problem for Cancelo right now is that he's fighting Davies. And he's not going to win that fight.
Because
The way Bayern set up is to release Davies now. So if Cancelo was to come in, he would have to come in on that left side to be released as well. And nobody's do it like Davies. He's not as good as Davies, I would say. He's a good player, though. But Davies just has stupid speed, and that's something you can't buy.
Yeah, me.
So tough.
Again, I think we both agree. I'd say Next yeah. one is that you think Benfica are going to go through, right? Between Benfica and Inter.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I could see it there. I think this is the closest of all the ties. There's a quality between two teams. But what I would say is that I think Inzaghi has been a pretty good coach in Champions League, even stretching back to last year. And if Lukaku's fit, then I think that he will be a nuisance.
I think he'll be a nuisance. I think this game can have the most goals in it. Because I don't elevate Benfica defense like that. But I don't elevate
thing defense. They have a cup winner.
No, but that's your thing, eh? But Otamendi actually is a good player in tournaments, eh? So yeah, clearly. That is actually your thing. But on a serious note, well, what I said was serious too, but on a serious note, but when you watch the defense for Inter, them players going through some shaky spots. Because, like, Skriniar out of favor now. De Vrij having a shooter. Or, I don't know if I can say that, but I said it. And I think Bastoni Benight. I don't know who the other center-back is.
Dian Brasil.
Okay. Who's that? Whatever. This Benfica team just scored 5. And they attack so fluid. Like, they scored 5, they could have scored more.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I think it's going to come down to who could score more. And I think Benfica could score more than Inter.
Yeah, fair. Our last one is an all-Italian tie. So we are guaranteed to see an Italian in the semifinals for the first time in very long. Since I think EC had make it.
It's not going to be easy this time.
It should not be easy. I highly doubt it.
These men too good, dog.
These men too good. They're too good. I don't think that we've ever seen any history of football, though, where like two players who played together for the first time have been in sync. You know, between Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen.
Like 3 hours ago, they just scored 3 goals. Osimhen scored twice and Kvara scored then, whatever.
Kvaratskhelia.
They won't stop scoring. Yeah. It's like every game, I check my phone, I see Napoli 2-0 up. I already know that one score and the next one score too. And I check, and lo and behold, Osimhen, Kvaratskhelia. And it's every game.
With AC, though, it's just they're not scoring enough. They are very light on their defense. And they have who I believe, and I will fight for this dog, is one of the top 3 keepers in the world. And Mike Maignan.
I really believe
that he's that good. But there's only so much he can do. It has felt like they've been pulling miracles recently. They have this guy that they signed as a free agent after he was released by Schalke. In Theo, I believe is his name, the German center. And he's started and they've been playing a back 3 and they've been finally been catching themselves a little bit. But they scored 1 goal against Tottenham. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect much from them. I think Rafael Leao has come back down to earth a little bit this season.
Yeah.
And
the smile is gone.
Yeah, boy. So, yeah. I think the only one, I mean, like I said, the Inter, Benfica one, I'm not really like real hard and fast on it. I can see Benfica going through, and I don't think it'll be great for the culture. Imagine having a Portuguese, an Italian, and then one of the more mainstay countries in England, Germany, and Spain there. That's great, dog. That being said, I think that's it for this week. We wrapped up there. It's almost a 2-hour pod again. I hope you guys really enjoy these because they've been coming out kind of regularly now. But yeah, that's it. Patrick, thank you for coming on as always. We love you so much.
Of course.
Catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later.